Measures Radio is on the air.
Path has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it. In the future, and maybe even podcasts at some point. Yes, tonight is Saturday night again. You know, we're kind of at the same time, same place. Yep, Saturday night, 9 p.m. Central. So, and today is the 7th of June of 2014. So, yeah, today is, well, actually this whole week's been kind of a, how's the phrase go? Weird scenes in the gold mine, I guess. So, hopefully I'm coming through well enough. Hopefully I'm coming through clear enough. And, what can we say? Tonight's one of those nights where I just feel like doing one of these. Thank you. In some ways, yes, you are starting to influence my taste of music. Actually, I just happen to like really Wee Hubbard to myself. So, yeah, part of my problem here earlier was I did hit the mute button. I thought I had it clicked off, and I clicked back on again. That's the problem. When you can't see sometimes, it's just kind of, it makes life interesting. We'll just put it that way. So, okay, well, I did plop the link in for the website here a little while ago. You know, out at arlen-tower.com Tinker's Shop. And if you go up near the top of the page there, I've got a link there for bread making. See, I just called it bread. So I figured I'd go ahead and just kind of talk a little bit about, how would you call it, the staff of life tonight. You know, different, few different bread recipes, plus I've just got a bunch of music just kind of, in my own way, my own little, memorial to the spirit of the guys that were, who went through D-Day. So why don't we do this here? Like I said, pretty well, I decided originally I was going to go through and just kind of do some breads things. And so these are just kind of some quickies. You know, breads that are a little bit quicker. Quite often, some of the better breads are ones that are left to, you know, raise several hours or a day or two. With sourdough breads and whatnot, I actually make one that's a variation of a ciabatta recipe, where I literally start out with a sourdough starter the day before and let the biga portion of it start the day before. I mix up my sourdough starter, some flour, and let that raise overnight until, you know, probably the next afternoon. Gives it a nice tang to the bread. Gets a little bit more of an acidic or a sourdough flavor to it. Works quite well. But the thing is, if you're going to be, if you need to have some bread fairly soon, you know, sometimes you got to go ahead and make a quicker bread. Well, this first one here is one that's, it's kind of a large batch method. And literally, it's a bucket bread. And up here at the top, I've got, you know, both the quantities for, you know, single loaf batch and for a large batch, a four times batch. You know, for the single loaf size, you use 3 cups of all-purpose or bread flour or a blend. You could add, you know, you could always add some rye flour in there. You could add some, almost anything. And depending on your taste, use a quarter teaspoon of instant yeast, which is a fairly small amount, 1 1/4 teaspoon salt, and 1 5/8 cup of warm water. Here it says 90 degrees, but, you know, as long as you keep it below about 100, 105 degrees, you're in good shape. And, again, for the, like I said, the bucket style bread, you know, you literally just mix it in a bucket. Put your hot water, your warm water into the bucket. You put your yeast and you set it to the side. You combine your flour and your salt. And basically, you know, we've got, you know, the general recipe here. Oh, so, now, like I said, you know, the eyes aren't really cooperating super well with me tonight, so I'm not going to be, you know, reading through the entire recipe here, but this is one that's basically, you do your bread, and you can cook it in regular pans or in Dutch ovens, and like I said, this is just one of those, a little bit more of a quickie bread recipes. So, now, next one down here, this is one that I believe Mother Earth mentioned the other night. A lot of people will go out and, you know, buy their Bisquick all the time. And actually, you know, to make a Bisquick substitute, which is can be used for a lot of different things, whether it be, you know, rolls, quick breads, heck, you can use it for making pancakes. And, of course, this is a, you know, a little bit larger quantity, but this is something you can make ahead to have handy. With that, what you need to make up your own homemade Bisquick is 9 cups of flour, 2/3 of a cup of non-fat dry milk, 3 tablespoons of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 1 cup of shortening. You can use lard. You can use Crisco. You know, any of these sorts of things. And the way to do it, you mix all your dry ingredients. You know, you cut in your shortening, and if you can't get it any other way, you know, you could always work it with your hands there. You know, get it so it's almost like, you know, cornmeal or, you know, fluffy. And you store it in a cool place, dry place, and you can just use it in place of commercial Bisquick. So, and, well, tell you what. Just to, so I can kind of, how to put it, you know, get my thoughts together here and my brain functioning better, I'm going to just put some more music in. So, here we go. A little bit of courtesy of Red, White, and Blue.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. He might somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Here, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. And it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start a ringing. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I'll brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Hopefully you guys will all forgive me tonight. I'm just kind of seem to be a little bit of, shall we say, discombobulated here. It's been, like I said, it's been kind of a long week. And we finally, oh, thank goodness, finally got some rain here. So, and let's see here, taking a peek here. Thank you, Minnie. Yeah, you got the, you popped that in there. Thank you much. Okay, the Chupada. Didn't quite understand that comment there, Punkin. The Chupada isn't the. Chupada isn't there. Yes. Yeah, I neglected to get the Chupada recipe in there, but I think probably what I may do is, sometime this next week I'm going to go ahead. And go ahead and transcribe it into here. And I'll tell you what I'll do. Next piece of music I put in, which will be in a few minutes, I'll go out, run out here to the kitchen and grab my copy of the Chupada recipe. So that way at least I can give it to everybody vocally here. And then I'll go ahead and just get it here onto the web page. Actually, I'll probably type it in tonight, maybe tomorrow. Depends on how well the eyes cooperate. So, but why don't we do this? I'm going to go ahead here and just kind of move on down through the list here. I know I'd mentioned Brochen before. It's a hard roll. It's a German roll. That is extremely crispy on the outside. And I actually did talk about this back, what was it now? Probably about 3 weeks or a month ago when I was talking about bratwurst. And so again, you know, this is kind of a repeat, but it seemed to go in place here. And again, I'll just kind of whip through this quick because I know we've talked about it before. And let's see here. Few more descriptions about Brochen, I guess, before I run through the ingredients. They're generally a hard roll that's probably, I'd say probably about 3.5-4 inches in diameter, and when you get them, they're usually about, let's say, 2.5 inches high. And yeah, they seem a little odd at first until you get used to them, because first time you get one of those, get a brooch in hand, you go, "What the heck is this thing?" You can just about pound it on a table, and it'll sound like you're pounding a rock on the table. But once you cut them open, inside they're just always really nice and light and fluffy. What it is they're really good for, well, like I said, I've done it with brats before. You take a brat and you just kind of, you know, slice it in half or whatever and put the two pieces inside and you crunch it down, and it's almost like its own like its own bread bowl as a miniature. Works great for, say you're doing a pulled pork sandwich, you know, pulled or beef, you know, brisket. They work quite well. So the trick for making brochen, though, it's, you know, it's very similar to any other bread recipe. But when you make them, you do your rising times on it as usual. You break the brochen dough up into, you know, your buns that you're going to make. And then when you're cooking them, it's done the same way as a ciabatta is, which is an Italian bread. Is the first few minutes when it's baking, you spray it with a spray bottle. You put some warm water in it and, you know, spray them down, close the door quick. Every couple of minutes for the first, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And also, a lot of times what's done is they'll take and put a 9x9 cake pan down in the bottom of the oven, and you fill it third full of warm water. What it does is it keeps the humidity level up inside of the oven, and between that and the spraying of the bread as it's baking, that gives it a nice crispy, crunchy crust on it. Plus, also, here's another thing with these, you know. Most people don't think about it, but it is true. Since a lot of these homemade breads like this don't have the extra preservatives in, if you make a soft homemade bread, they have more of a tendency of, if you don't eat the whole thing right away, which is kind of difficult not to do, but if it just happens that you have, you know, several loaves of homemade bread sitting out, they'll mold on you fairly quickly in the summertime. Whereas a brochen or a ciabatta, when they are, you know, say they get forgotten overnight or something, that hard crust on the outside, it has no place for mold to get started on it, so it works fairly slick. I should probably double check here in the chat room just to make sure I'm still coming through. Okay, I don't see anybody yelling at me saying that I have lost my sound, so we seem to be in pretty good shape. And, oh, good Lord, just looked here and just saw, here we are, it's almost to the bottom of the hour. My goodness. So, well, while we do this, I'm going to go ahead and throw, I'll go ahead and put a commercial or two in here since it is the bottom of the hour, you know, 9:30 already. How time flies when you're having fun. So, well, I'll do this, get my duty out of the way of giving our station IDs and getting our things done. So, and then we'll come back and I'll natter on some more.
For the last 20 years, Army medics were taught to the same standard as civilian EMT paramedics. After the blow-up in the sandbox of Iraq and Afghanistan, the U.S. Army Medical Corps relooked on how medics were trained. Their training has prepared you on standards that apply to civilian emergency medical services that do not apply to the combat environment. Does this show actually mean combat? Not totally. Combat environments can be found in horrible natural disasters and, yes, man-made disasters. Between this show and live training, the Medic Shack will show you how to treat and survive most any natural or man-made disaster. So join us Sundays, 5 p.m. Mountain Time on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, well, we got the sort of a station ID out of the way there, and kind of giving a wave to our friend Edge of the Woods and the Medic Shack. Okay. Oh, well, like I said, that was kind of a quickie talk through on the Brochens. And well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to do this. I am going to go ahead and go get that ciabatta recipe, which, I should have put that in here earlier, but I'll tell you what. Let's do this one here. Put this one in here for all you ladies. And while this is playing, I will go ahead and get the ciabatta recipe. So, enjoy, and I'll be back in about 3.5 minutes, I think.
Well, I ain't never been to Barbie Doll Time. No, I can't swig that sweet champagne.
Keeping it.
was all one for all you redneck gals out there. So, and as promised, I did make a trek on out here to. I really shouldn't call it the kitchen. It was actually the pantry. It's where we keep all of our mass quantities of different cookbooks that we've got. I myself probably have about 30 different cookbooks, and she who must be obeyed has quite a few herself. So, anyway, like I promised, I went ahead and went out and got the recipe for the ciabatta, and actually she volunteered to read it, but it was if she'd read the whole thing, it would probably just about finish out the show. So the recipe's fairly detailed. But ciabatta is Italian bread. Let's see how to put it. Yeah, you got your French breads, which is, you know, kind of a, you know, a nice chewy crust on it and whatnot. And ciabatta is much the same way, except it's got a little bit more of a crunchy crust. And see, I believe ciabatta means little slipper or something like that. And, well, tell you what, I'll go ahead and run through the ingredients list in here and then just give you the short form directions for it. So, okay, so ciabatta, which is, like I said, the Italian bread, uses 1 1/4 teaspoons of active dry yeast, uses 6 cups of bread flour and 1 tablespoon of salt. You can actually go a little bit lighter on there if you want. Again, the salt's more or less to taste, but the original recipe called for 1 tablespoon. Uses 1/4 teaspoon of malt powder, and around this place, yeah, I've got malt powder, so I use it. It helps with the browning of the bread. Yeah, it gives it a little bit nicer look. It also sweetens it just a touch. And actually, I've been known to usually go up probably to about 1/2 teaspoon. Use a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, to put into your bowl for the rising time. And then 1/4 cup of cornmeal. And that's used during the final raising process and when you're baking your bread. So, and this is also, like I said, you know, the ciabatta uses what's called a biga, B-I-G-A, and that's where you take a small amount of the flour and part of the liquid and some of the yeast, you mix it up the day before and you let it rise overnight. And it'll actually rise, you know, fairly decent distance, and it'll fall back. And this helps give a little bit more of the characteristic taste for ciabatta. So to make your biga, you take 1/4 teaspoon of the yeast in 1 cup of warm water, you know, right, like I said, you know, right around, you know, 95 to 100 degrees. You know, a little bit warmer, basically about blood temperature. So, and then you stir in 2 cups of the bread flour, and this will give you a real rough, you know, soft dough. Now, it's not a liquid batter, but it's softer than your finished bread dough is going to be. And what you do is you stir it up with a wooden spoon for a couple of minutes, and you cover it. You set it aside, at regular warm room temperatures, you know, for about 12 hours or so. Once that's done, you know, overnight, and what you do at that point is go ahead and take the rest of your yeast and 1/2 cup of the warm water. You stir it together, and then you basically put the rest of your ingredients all together, and stir it up, and make your bread dough. usually what I do is, when I have my biga started, I'll go ahead and add everything except the flour, you know, the rest of the water, my malt, the extra yeast, the salt, and I'll actually go ahead and stir that up first so that thins that biga out real good, and then I'll go ahead and put my flour in, stir it up, and, you know, make my bread dough from there. Once you've done that, you can go ahead and just let your bread dough do its first rising. The way you do that, you go ahead and take your olive oil, you know, smear it around inside of your bowl, and once you've kneaded your bread out, you put it in there, cover it with a damp cloth, the bowl with a damp cloth, and you let it rise until it's about doubled. At that point, you can go ahead and punch it down, and you can go ahead at that point, like I said, you punch it down, you divide it into four loaves, and to make the ciabatta style bread, you take your four loaf pieces and you basically flatten it out and make it into about a 4x10 rectangle, and you put it onto your baking sheet that you're going to use for rising the bread on. Scatter your cornmeal out, put the bread on there, and again, cover it with a damp towel, let it till it rises for the second raising, until it's, you know, roughly doubled, or, you know, however high you want to have it. At that point, it goes into the oven, and the oven needs to be preheated to about 425, you know, with your baking stone in there. And once the bread's raised enough, you transfer it onto the baking stone and you bake it for between 20 and 25 minutes. And again, this is one where you take it every couple of minutes for the first 10 minutes and you spray it down with water while it's baking. And when you can definitely tell when it's done. You can smell it. It smells like fantastic. And this is actually generally the same recipe I use for making a sourdough bread. I'll actually make a sourdough biga the night before, and it works quite well. And like I said, I'll go ahead and get this written up and get it onto the web page here. So all the instructions will be there later on this. Well, I was going to say later on this week, but it's definitely going to be done before that. I'll have it up for sure by Monday. And, well, let's see here. We've got, 9:43 here, so. And what do we got? We've got two more portions in here for the recipes, so. I think what I'll do here. I know I'd mentioned this one before, and, yeah, Conk, you were saying about, you're getting me to like Willie Ray Hubbard, so why don't I do this one? And hopefully everybody takes offense at the language, but this is Willie Ray Hubbard, and where he's saying to the rest of the country, screw you, we're from Texas. So enjoy.
All right, I'm doing this song here because Jesse Scott requested it, and I would like to say the problem with irony is not everybody gets it. Cowboy boots, jeans, and a Hawaiian shirt. I got some mirror sunglasses. I got a mobile phone. I guess I look like some Porter Rance's dope dealer's out on bail and just trying to get home. But I ain't in jail, and I got me a guitar. I got a little band that's hotter than a rocket. Sometimes we're sloppy, we're always loud. Tonight we just honoring locks in the pockets. So screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. USA and the other states, yeah, they're okay. But Texas is the place that, well, I want to be, and I doubt if I ever get a gig in Delaware anyway. Well, I want to go, and we got Antone's and Stubbs and Green Hall and old John T's Country Store. We got Willie and Jackie and Jack and Robert Earl and got Hayes, Carl and Slade Cleese and a whole lot more. So screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. We're from Texas. Texas got a bad reputation because of what happened in Dallas and Washington and Waco. And our corporations, well, yeah, they are corrupt, and our politicians, swindlers and locos. But when it comes to music, my friend, I can believe that these words are as true as St. John the Revelator's. Mr. Vaughn was the best I ever saw. The old man was cooler than the old 13th floor elevator. So screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. We're from Texas. Ah, screw you. We're from Texas. I hope you're happy.
And there you go, Conk. I hope you're happy. Oh, what a day. What a day. Yeah, now I'm starting to get fired up. What can I say? Like I've said before, Saturday nights seem to be my my therapy night here, I guess. So, and like I'd said before, hopefully I don't seem too discombobulated tonight. It's just, sometimes I've, how to put it, get a little tired at the, after the whole week. So, what can you say? Okay, and yes, Iowa Cat, I should have said this before. Welcome back. Hopefully you guys had a good, safe journey. And, one thing you probably notice, people, in general, when I'm doing breads, I generally don't use any sugar. It's, again, I usually kind of like go a little bit more towards a sourdough type. But, I've been known to use some sugar as well. And there's actually another recipe. Again, I'm not gonna get into it tonight here, but I probably... because I'm going to have to find the bloody thing again. It was one that was... let's see, who was it? I'm not sure if it was Wrights or Minnie who mentioned it the other day. There was the person out in California who has the quarter-acre farm. And she had a recipe for... it was kind of like an Italian street bread, which was... little bit more of a sweet bread as well. It had lemon zest in it. So, gee, I could probably do a whole, if I get my act together, I could probably do a whole show on desserts or dessert breads. Yeah, maybe that might be something for next week. So I'll just kind of have to keep that in the memory files. So... and I suppose I should probably go ahead and continue on through here. Okay, going back to the webpage here, I've got a recipe here for cheddar cheese scones. And, you know, like I have in here, you know, the rumor is that this recipe is the one they use at Red Lobster. Because years and years ago, I used to hit Red Lobster once in a while when I was out on the road. And one of the things I did like there, and usually I'd try talking the waitress out of, two or three extra of their cheddar cheese scones to take on back to the hotel room with me for, you know, midnight munchie type thing. And again, this is One that's not too bad to use. And notice here that we have here, it says, 2.5 cups of Bisquick baking mix. Well, if we go back up here a little bit further, we've got our own homemade Bisquick mix. So then you know what's in it. You don't necessarily have all the extra store-bought ingredients. 1 cup of sharp cheddar cheese, you grate that up nice and fine. 3/4 cup of whole milk, rather than skim milk or 2%. It just helps with, give it a more rounded flavor if you use whole milk. A couple tablespoons of butter melted. 1/8 teaspoon of garlic powder. 1/4 cup of, more butter. And then 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder and 1/2 teaspoon of parsley flakes. And again, fairly quick to make. You heat your oven up, and while your oven's heating, you can go ahead and combine your Bisquick mix, your cheese, 2 tablespoons of the butter that's been melted ahead, and your 1/8 teaspoon of garlic powder. You mix them all together in a bowl. And and it's basically, it's drop 1/4 cup portions of the dough onto an ungreased baking sheet, and then you combine the 1/4 cup butter with 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, parsley flakes of salt, you brush the stuff over the top, and you bake 14 to 16 minutes or until the top of the biscuits begin to turn light brown, and you serve them warm. And I'll tell you what, those things are definitely a cholesterol bomb, but hey, they taste fantastic. And what do we got here? Okay, we still got a few minutes left of the night here. And let's see here. I think probably what I'll do is I'll probably go ahead and just, once we get all through with going through the page here, I'll probably go ahead and just run on for a while tonight and play a little bit more music, because I think people usually like that as well. One moment here. Gotta hit my cough button. Yep, we got our allergy season going on here. Between the rains that we're finally getting and then the dust from when it dries off, it kind of leaves everybody with a cough once in a while. So. Last thing on the list here, I got a pizza crust, and this is one of the ones that's a little bit more of a, like it says, soft and chewy. I have a tendency of, I love a good cracker crust, but these days, a lot of people like one that's a little bit of a thick crust, so it's a little more chewy. So, again, fairly straightforward. Your ingredients for it is 2 1/4 teaspoons active dry yeast, 1/2 teaspoon of brown sugar. Again, this is one of the exceptions for me for putting sugar in. 1.5 cups warm water. And again, here they say 110. It can be, 100, 110. A teaspoon of salt, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and 3 1/3 cups all-purpose flour. And again, it's the usual. You proof your yeast or you starch your yeast to start with. A little bit of. You get your yeast in a bowl. You dissolve your yeast in the brown sugar and some water, and you leave it set for 10 minutes. What'll happen is that yeast will rehydrate and start acting a little bit, and the sugar will start feeding it as well, and it'll start. By about 10 minutes, it should start looking a little bit frothy. At that point, you can go ahead and stir in your salt and your oil into the yeast mixture. And after that, you stir in about 2.5 cups of the flour. And then what you want to do is you want to work your dough. So your kneading surface, can be a clean, well-floured surface. It can be a tabletop. Another trick that can be done is if you do a lot of homemade breads where you're going to knead them out, is to, this is going to sound crazy, but my grandmother used to do it. That's where I learned it from. If you have a towel or, basically like one of the flour sack towels, if you use the same flour sack towel every time to knead your bread on, it makes it for a little bit easier cleanup. You well flour it the first time and you work your dough on there. And eventually that towel will get some flour built up into it. And it works quite nice. Yeah, you end up with things being less sticky. And it works. So, anyhow, you turn your dough out onto your kneading surface, and what you do is you knead in the extra flour until the dough isn't sticky anymore. And at that point, you put the dough into a well-oiled bowl. Again, you cover it with a cloth and let it rise until doubled. That's basically a bread. And that take about an hour. And then at that point, you punch the dough down, make a tight ball out of it, and you let it relax for a minute. And then at that point, you roll it out just like you would any other pizza dough. Again, lightly floured surface. You roll it out to your size. Get it on your pan. You top it. However you're going to do it. But again, the directions are, preheat your oven to 425. And if you're baking on a pizza stone, you can put your toppings right on the dough and bake it right away. If you're doing it in a pan, you oil the pan a little bit. You let the dough rise for another 15 or 20 minutes. And then you can put your toppings on and bake it. And you bake the pizza in a preheated oven until your cheese and crust are golden brown or however you like it. I have a tendency of going with a... until it's totally nuked on me, but it takes 15 to 20 minutes, and makes for a pretty good crust. Actually, my wife, she usually uses this recipe to make a crust that the grandkids like, and our kids too. They all have a tendency of liking a crust that's a little bit almost like the self-rising crust that you get. So, like I said, I prefer more of a cracker crust, but then again, I grew up with 1950s pizza. with the guys who came back from Italy and from the Second World War, where they brought the recipe back from. So what time we got here? Well, we got 9:59. So why don't I do this? I'm going to go ahead here at this point. I'm going to go ahead and throw in a couple of the ads here for JMR. And after that, I'm going to go ahead and just play a bunch of music for the rest of the evening. That is if everybody would like that. So here we go.
Southwest Shooting Authority of Arizona can provide all of your firearms training needs from multi-state concealed weapons classes to advanced tactical handgun, rifle, and shotgun training. Experienced, nationally certified instructors will help you achieve or exceed your highest expectations and ensure that you walk away with a feeling of security and confidence that will be apparent to those that would do you harm. You can also visit our on-site pro shop for all of your firearms, shooting accessories, and ammunition needs. Visit SouthwestShootingAuthority.com or call 866-886-8753 for more information on classes and products.
2 years ago, I uttered the phrase too late as a warning that silver and gold prices would soon skyrocket, and thus they have this year. With our current financial predicament, you might want to consider someone who supplies silver American Eagles and other precious metals, a family dealer up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Just Measures Coin Shop. Call Bobby at 812-305-7091 or click on the link at my homepage at johngaultfla.com.
Okay, well, here we are, top of the hour, and I see, I just saw your comment there about, your son bought his girlfriend a flamethrower this last year? Okay, that sounds like fun. Yeah. But, so with that in mind, let me do this. This is one that's kind of a crazy song, and so we'll take a listen to this one. You might laugh at it.
When I was a radical, she started as a kid. I couldn't dare to tell you even half the things she did. She danced at demonstrations and she marched on picket lines. She blew up parking meters, she sharp traffic signs. Grandma went out with a bang. To be a master at blasting things apart. She started out with garbage cans put on the toilet tanks. And when she graduated, all the teachers cheered in thanks. Grandma went out with a bang. Grandma went out with a bang. She died as she lived. May the heavens forgive my grandma. Blow up targets, no one thought that anyone would dare. She stink bombed 20 cop shops, county court, and city hall. But the city dump she blew up raised the biggest stink of all. And it eased the tensions of being a mother and a wife. And when her heart grew weak with age, it didn't slow her down. She got a super pacemaker and went out on the town. Grandma went out with a bang. Grandma went out with a bang. She died and she lived, may the heavens forgive my grandma. And when dear grandma died at last, with all our grief and tears, we please forgot that pacemaker when laying her to rest. She wanted to be cremated, and we gave her the best. Grandma went out with a bang. Grandma went out with a bang. She died as she lived. May the heavens forgive my grandma. Grandma always called that place a rip-off that had gone. So when the place exploded, yeah, I knew it was no fluke. The heat set off her pacemaker and it went up like a nuke. My grandma went out with a bang. Grandma went out with a bang. She died and she lived. May the heavens forgive my grandma.
Well, actually, you'd said, whatever happened to Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Well, that's a wintertime song. So, what can you say?